A few weeks ago, Pastor Bob asked me if I'd be interested in preaching today. He told me, Mike, pray about it. After he asked me, all I could think about it was how I felt the first time I stood at the end of the diving board. Sheer terror. But here I am. John Maxwell, who has written several books on leadership, said the following. The true measure of leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. If we don't have influence, we'll never be able to lead others. So how do we measure influence? Here's a story to answer that question. In the late summer of 1997, people were jolted by two events that occurred a week apart. The deaths of Princess Diana and Mother Teresa. On the surface, these two women could not have been more different. One was a tall, young, glamorous princess from England who circulated in high society. The other, a Nobel Peace Prize recipient, was a small, elderly Catholic nun born in Albania who served the poorest of poor in Calcutta, India. What's incredible is that their impact was remarkably similar. In a 1996 poll published by the London Daily Mail, Princess Diana and Mother Teresa were voted in first and second places as the world's two most caring people. That's something that doesn't happen unless you have a lot of influence. How does someone like Princess Diana come to be regarded in the same way as Mother Teresa? The answer is she demonstrated the power of influence. The greatest leader who ever influenced mankind was Jesus Christ. How did he do that? By example. He was the greatest example of the Father. In fact, in the Gospel of John, Jesus told Philip, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And I and the Father are one." Leadership is defined as the ability to influence people. Leadership is influence, the ability to gather people around you. Who could gather more people around him than Jesus? What was it about Jesus that gathered crowds around him? Was it the way he was always willing to give himself without limitation to those around him? How does a father influence the lives of his children? He does it in three ways: his leadership, his love, and the legacy he leaves behind. How did he leave? How did he love? And what legacy did he leave? Today I want to use what I regard to be as one of his most powerful parables. Denise. Thanks for coming. She said she couldn't make it, so appreciate it. Most of us are familiar with the story. A rebellious son demands his inheritance, leaves home, and goes to a far country. For a while, he lives it up, spends all his money, and soon ends up in desperate circumstances. He also ends up doing a job he would never have considered in the past. One day, he realizes that he made a big mistake. He decides to return home and asks his father to let him be a servant. As he was returning home, his father welcomes him back with love and rejoicing. As we look at this parable, I would like for you to consider two things. Number one, what was the father's thought after his son took the inheritance and left? And what the son was thinking before he came to his senses and started home. First, the first thing we're going to talk about is how the father influenced his son by leadership. When the son came to his father and wanted his inheritance, did you ever ask yourself, why did the father give it to him? Remember, back then, if a son wanted his inheritance before his father passed away, it was like saying, I wish that you weren't living anymore. That must have been really awful for his father to have heard that. It must have broken his heart. So the split of the inheritance back then was 2/3 to the older son and 1/3 to the younger son. So the father gave this younger son 1/3 of his inheritance. Again, the question is, why did he give him the money? There used to be a family show on TV in the 50s and 60s called Father Knows Best. Who remembers that show? The premise of the series was it taught moral lessons from week to week. And the father always solved the problems because he knew best. So when the father gave his son the inheritance, maybe he did know best. Maybe it was time for him to cut his son loose and see what would happen next. However, have you ever made a decision and started to second guess yourself? Soon after his son left, maybe this is exactly what the father did. He may have started to ask himself questions like, was I a good father? Was I involved in his life? Did I spend quality time with him? Did I support him? Was I there when he needed me? Did I build self-esteem in him? Did I encourage him? Did I accept him for who he was? Did I discipline him with kindness? Was I a good example how I interacted with his mother? Did I help him achieve his goals? More importantly, as a spiritual leader, did I help him reach his spiritual goals? When the father of the prodigal son stopped reflecting on whether he had been a good influence on his son, I believe he became confident that he fulfilled his responsibility as a father. I believe he thought his decision to give his son the inheritance was the right decision after all. Maybe this was an opportunity for him to grow up, to take responsibility for himself, to see if the influence he had in his son's life would pay off. He would wait and pray and see if his son would recognize that and soon come home. Meanwhile, his son was in a distant country, squandering his wealth, living it up. He spent everything and he began to be in need. Maybe at this point, the son started to reflect on his decision to take the inheritance. He may have questioned himself. What was I thinking? My father gave me my inheritance. I went off on my own and I blew it all. Here I am starving to death. Maybe my life at home wasn't as bad as I thought. Maybe my dad was a good dad. In fact, as I recall, he was never too busy for me. He made it a priority to spend time with me. When I needed to talk to someone, he was there. He was a good provider, a hard worker. In fact, I can't remember a time when I was ever in need. He protected me when I was in trouble. He was honest. He had integrity. And he always respected my feelings. He was a good spiritual leader. He taught me how to pray and to worship God. He loved my mother. He always treated her with respect. He cared about those in need. He used kindness and discipline. The more I think about it, he was a good father. What was I thinking when I took the money? After reflecting on his childhood and the positive influence his father played in his life, what did he do next? The scripture says he came to his senses. He said, I'll set out, go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. That must have been hard for him to admit that he was wrong. The fact that he knew he could go back to his father says something about their relationship. Forgiveness must have been part of it. So the prodigal takes off and goes to his father. We just talked about how the father's leadership influenced his son's life. Now let's talk about his love. Again, let's see what the scripture says. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion, ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. What a reaction from his father. Because of his love for his son, he must have been looking for him every day, anticipating his return home. So what did he do? He ran to him, threw his arms around him, embraced him, and kissed him. Can you picture this in your mind? That heartfelt embrace. What a moment that must have been. Remember, his son took the money and spent it unwisely. But his father's love for him was greater than his son's rebellion. Also, deep in the son's heart, he must have known he could return home someday. Even in his worst hour, his father's love was compelling. Even though the son poured out his heart to his father, saying, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer to be worthy to be called your son," the father said, "Not a word." Forgiveness was evident. There was no lecture, just a kiss. There was no mourning for all that he wasted. Instead, it was immediate rejoicing. Repentance had changed the son. How many times have we blown it? How many times has our Heavenly Father forgiven us? Forgiveness is always just a prayer away. We talked about the Father's leadership, his love. Let's talk about the last thing, his legacy. How the Father wanted to be remembered. After the Father and the Son embrace, what does the Father do next? He has a feast and celebrates his Son's return. From the time his Son left to the time he returned, he was on the Son's side. When they embraced, the Father in essence was saying, "Son, there's nothing that you will ever do that would ever stand between us. My love for you goes far beyond your actions. I love you no matter what. I love you unconditionally." No different than how our Heavenly Father loves us. This past May, Tiger Woods' father passed away from prostate cancer. He is one of sport's most recognized fathers. He was the former Green Beret who rooted his son in the lessons of and legacy of Vietnam. Earl Woods took his military training and applied it to life's lessons. He taught Tiger discipline, toughness, and the principles by which he lived. Earl was never a pro. He never picked up a golf club until he was 40 years old. Hitting the ball a long way wasn't what he preached, but getting the ball into the hole with the fewest number of strokes. I can remember Tiger's first win in the majors. It was in the Masters in 1997. I remember the indelible image that came when Tiger and his father embraced near the final hole at Augusta National. It's very touching. Tiger said the following after his dad passed away. "My dad was my best friend and greatest role model, and I miss him deeply. I'm overwhelmed when I think of the great things that he accomplished in his life. He was an amazing dad, coach, mentor, soldier, husband, and friend. I wouldn't be here today without him, and I'm honored to continue his legacy for sharing and caring." What a great influence Earl had on Tiger Woods. The other day, Tiger Woods, I don't know if anyone's watching the U.S. Open right now, but Tiger Woods missed the cut in the U.S. Open. It's the first time he ever missed a major. Missed a cut in the major. So, you know, as I was thinking about it, you know, maybe his dad had made a bigger influence than we thought. You know. So when I study the prodigal son, I often see how God works to influence us. It's through his great love. If we look at the story, we'll see that he loves us enough to turn us loose to do our own thing. He won't force us to do his will. Even when we rebel against him, he still loves us. He still hopes that one day we'll return. When we come to him, no matter what has happened in our lives, he will welcome and embrace us. As fathers, what legacy do we want to leave behind? All of us have missed the mark at some times. It's never too late to be a godly influence.
Let's pray.
Father, as we reflect upon this message, we pray that we would see fatherhood as a sacred responsibility, something that is divinely appointed by you. When we seek help to be better fathers, remind us you are just a prayer away. We pray that we would not take our responsibility with you for granted. Help us to understand that you love us and want to be part of all we do. We love you, Father, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.